Vermont Public published a story earlier this month that found that after last July's floods, FEMA incurred nearly $80 million in administrative costs on a recovery mission that distributed $43 million to flood survivors. U.S. Senator Peter Welch says he was taken aback by those findings.
I was shocked by it and really upset by it.
Welch is now calling for a long-term structural overhaul of FEMA. But in the meantime, survivors of the latest flood to hit the state will have to contend with many of the same obstacles that Vermonters confronted after the last disaster. Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld has more.
Patty Smith's home on the second branch of the White River in East Bethel is a former sawmill that was built to coexist with the water beside it. The heavy current that encircled her house during the summer flood of 2023, though, was more than the structure could withstand.
And that current lifted these wooden piers off of their foundation, and the motion of the current twisted the house.
FEMA inspectors were on site shortly after the water receded, and Smith began the process of applying for individual assistance. But FEMA would later insist that it was the pre-existing condition of her home and not the massive flood that inundated it that was responsible for the damage.
And it was very, very easy for FEMA to just reject the claim based on, oh, well, you didn't maintain your house properly, and that's your problem.
Smith admits the place was a little ramshackle. She's a low-income Vermonter living with a disability and doesn't have the money to keep the place tip-top. But she says the bones were good and the foundation was solid before the flood devastated the property, and she's still struggling to understand why a federal agency that was created to help disaster survivors would reject her obvious need for aid.
I think that when we do go in and try to fix problems, rather than blaming poor people for having a substandard house, why not help us?
The number of residents, businesses, and municipal officials who've expressed disappointment with FEMA over the past year has hit a critical mass for federal lawmakers like Senator Peter Welch, who spoke with Vermont Public last week as he toured flood damage in Hardwick.
So it leads to immense frustration on the part of people who are suffering, businesses, the homeowners, the towns that want to get the infrastructure repaired.
Reporting by Vermont Public that includes interviews with flood survivors, state and local officials, and current and former FEMA employees reveals a pattern of administrative bloat at a federal agency that, to many Vermonters, often seemed less interested in providing assistance than in finding ways to reject requests for aid. Individuals have struggled to get basic answers about applying for aid, and they often confront a bewildering process that wrongly leads survivors to believe their requests for assistance have been denied. Welch says it's become clear to him that FEMA is structurally incapable of administering recovery resources in ways that acknowledge the varied needs of Vermonters and the unique communities they live in.
The long-term recovery has to be led by the local people. That's my conclusion. A Washington-based governmental entity with the best of intentions just can't do it.
Welch says he's now pursuing a major overhaul of the country's disaster response apparatus. He wants an entirely new system in which state and local entities would be authorized to distribute the billions of dollars in public and individual assistance that FEMA currently administers.
The resources are transferred to the local community. You have some federal oversight to make sure you're protecting taxpayer money. But we get real that the reality of implementation requires quick decisions, clarity, quick turnaround, in local leadership.
Welch says administrative costs incurred by FEMA after last year's flood, about $80 million, according to records obtained by Vermont Public, spotlight the inefficiency of the existing structure.
If you spend $2 on administration and only $1 on relief, it's upside down. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Sam Harvey is a FEMA employee who specializes in the individual assistance process. He told Vermont Public recently that the vastness of FEMA's mission doesn't always lend itself to a smooth customer experience.
These policies, these laws, these regulations that govern FEMA, they have to govern 300 million Americans. And it means that sometimes they don't always directly apply to one American.
Harvey says FEMA made significant revisions to its individual assistance determination process in March, and he says those changes should improve the experience for flood survivors after this latest disaster. FEMA, for instance, will no longer require people to apply for a loan from the Small Business Administration before they're allowed to apply for aid for physical possessions that were damaged or destroyed by the flood, like cars or appliances.
Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever get rid of all of the stress of it, but I do feel that these changes are a very positive step in making it easier for survivors.
Douglas Farnham, Chief Flood Recovery Officer for the state of Vermont, isn't holding his breath.
I think it's very challenging for an organization, a federal organization, to change.
More than 1,900 residents and 200 businesses have reported damage from the most recent major flood to hit Vermont. Farnham says he's not sure whether changes made by FEMA will make a meaningful difference for those people, if and when the state qualifies for individual and public assistance.
Some of the things in the process of FEMA, the process on paper doesn't look bad, but when you try to go through it as a human, that's when it really starts to fail. So we really have to see how people are able to use the process to really make up our mind about it.
Those changes are too late to make any difference for flood survivors like Patty Smith, who's trying to cobble together enough cash to get her house livable before winter.
I'm hoping to try to get at least enough money to re-insulate it.
Smith's home wasn't affected by the most recent flood, and while temporary housing assistance from FEMA has allowed her to rent an apartment since last August, her eligibility for that program expires in December. Smith's financial situation means finding a new place is not an option, and FEMA's decision to deny her request for aid has serious implications for her future in East Bethel.
Well, I think that it's basically living in a dangerous home. That's my future. I mean, it was dicey before, I'll admit that, but now it's, you know, now it's dangerous. But I have no other choice. You know, I mean, I just don't have any choice.
For Vermont Public, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.